As most listeners know, Kimberly, Ava, Brandy, and I, we all volunteer at The Mark, which is in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's our local kinky community center. And on weekends, they'll host play parties where you can meet people and have what we call scenes. And while a scene might involve sex, very often it's not. It's maybe a different kind of form of BDSM play. But that is a scene, just for people who don't maybe know, is like, just like as an example, if it's Brandy and I and we decide, hey, we're going to get together and we're going to play, we're going to go do something, spanking or whatever, right? So that would be considered a scene. So one time, a newer friend and I, we had decided to play for our very first time. And so the situation was that I had her with her hands kind of up over her head, and they were cuffed to a bar that was on a chain. And then I was doing things to her and hitting her different places. And I remember asking her, like, you know, is there any places you want to be hit? For example, she's like, oh, my arms. Nobody ever hits me in the arms, you know. So, you know, did that kind of stuff. And over on the side, while all this is going on, is her boyfriend watching. And so you play, and but you are kind of aware that this other person is there. And so we did our scene. Everything was going fine and great. And then I messed up, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I got into a situation where I was squeezing her nipples and being playful. I'm sitting here going like, I'm just going to squeeze your nipples until you cuss. And then she, being tough, decided she was not going to cuss. And so all of a sudden, we were in this situation where only one person could win. And I didn't realize it till I was in the middle of it. And then I thought, like, you know, crap, this is not going to end well. This is not going to be kind of a good thing, because all of a sudden it's pitted me versus her, you know. And so she held out for a long time, but the same time, her hands are in the air. There's not much she can do. And so I won, unfortunately. And so she cursed and said something like, fuck you, Steven, and then burst into tears and was like, you know, get me down. And I felt horrible and just stopped, you know, like there's nothing to do. So I just stopped and got her down as best I could. And what do you say at that point? So all I could do was hold her. And so that's what I did, you know, was just to kind of, I don't think I sat there and was like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's like, we just got to that point in the scene. I took her down and I held her, and she sat there and cried for a while. And I just held on to her. And her boyfriend was great. You know, he did not, you don't know how the other person is going to kind of react at the time either. So he came over, he did not like get in between us or whatever. He kind of gave us some space and things like that. And then she got to where she was okay. And I checked on her, we talked briefly, and then she went over to see him and things like that. And, but I felt really, really bad because I had messed up, not intentionally, but I got into a situation where that didn't go well. And so we do what we call aftercare, where you do usually kind of sit together and kind of check on each other and things. And so she sat with her boyfriend for a while. She sat with me for a while and then left for the night. And I talked with Kimberly about it, you know, but it was like, you just don't quite know where you stand, right? And then so the next day, I get a text from her, and it is all about how wonderful last night was and how wonderful the scene was, and that, you know, she had this, I'm going to say, experience that like pushed her further than maybe other people tend to push her. And so it turned out that it was this kind of really nice, positive experience, and she really appreciated it and she wanted to play again. And so I was like, thank God, you know. It's like, that was just kind of one of those moments there where you're like sort of terrified. And then it's like, okay, like it's going to be, things are going to be okay. And I have thought about that moment and kind of how that happened and how that played out quite a bit. And it has made me really sort of, what I want to cover today is that a lot of times you can have a problem that comes up, and the problem is not so much the issue, is more of like, how do you handle things after that? Because if you handle them well, it can be a very positive experience, right? And so I think her the next day writing me back going like, hey, that was great, you know, is because I think I handled things well. Just all I did really was just kind of hold her and hug her. But if I didn't, you know, if I didn't handle things well, it probably would have torn everything down, right? And then I would be an asshole and I would not have done things well. And so when these these, I'm going to say, problems occur, I really think it's this kind of pivoting point where how you act ends up making a difference. And so that's what I want to really dive into today. So in this episode, we're going to talk about mistakes and accidents, problems, and how you can really work to turn them into a positive experience that really does help establish trust. That's probably the key thing that you're really working on when these things happen. But it's going to establish, I think, trust and strengthen your relationship. We're also going to give you tips for figuring out what to do in those critical moments. But also, hopefully, you'll find out that you'll feel less worried about messing up. That's one of the things that I have noticed about myself is when you realize, like, if I mess up and if things go wrong, for the most part, I'll be able to turn it around and make it okay, you know, and then that kind of helps put me at ease that it's okay to mess up. And so you're more comfortable. That can lead to more confidence about trying new things, which is, again, that's something I've experienced myself, is that there's a weight lifted off your shoulders, right? And you've got more flexibility. So you end up being able to do more stuff in regular life when you're not always fearful about messing up. And because if you know that if something goes wrong, that it can turn into this kind of positive thing, then you're just, like I said, a weight is lifted off your shoulders and you just kind of live in a little bit different way. You're not worried about stuff all the time. Hello, and welcome to Ethical Seduction, where we make flirting and seduction easier and better for everyone. So as sex-positive educators and volunteers serving our local community in Nashville, Tennessee, where this got started was we'd end up meeting people that would end up feeling stuck or frustrated, sometimes lonely, because they would struggle to meet and connect with different people that they were interested in. And so Ethical Seduction was started originally as a class, and now we're doing it as a podcast to try and help people develop better skills for meeting and approaching and connecting with other people. So we really want to try to change the perception of what flirting and seduction are and how they work to make that a better experience for everybody. So I'm your host, Stephen. Kimberly and Ava are out today, but joining me, we have Brandy.
Hello.
So Brandy, with talking about how this different problems and how that can change, how you can change that into building a stronger, better relationship, how do you take that moment and turn it into something that's really kind of positive and helps you? Have you had situations like that, that you have, like the example I gave, do you have something similar that's happened to you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Especially if you're active in the kink world and you intentionally set up scenes and play, then it is just bound to happen that you're going to have a scene that does not go the way that it was discussed or planned. And then the way that that's what I call recovered is really what impacts your overall take from that experience. So yeah, I've had that happen plenty of times.
Have you had it outside of like kink and outside of play?
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. I've had it in just regular everyday relationships and even dynamics with people at work. And I think the biggest thing I've learned along the way is You know, years ago, I would focus so much, and I think some people still do this, and this is why this might be good information, is I focused a lot of energy on how to prevent it from happening. I was like, if I just do this, this, and this, then that outcome won't happen. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be good. Nothing wrong will happen. And so I'd focus so much energy in trying to prevent it from happening that when it actually did, I was completely unprepared for how to handle it. And as you gave in your example, you had talked about you didn't say, I'm sorry. A lot of times I feel like when people do that as their response is, I'm sorry, is because they don't know what else to do, because they haven't stopped to think about what they would do if they were in that situation. And so I've really worked over the years to, you know, hope that it doesn't happen, but then plan for if it does, how would I react to that? How would I recover it and still make it a positive experience?
You know, you mentioned work. And one of the things that I noticed, it took me a long time to kind of get this. Okay. So when I'm an architect. So when I first graduated from school, it's like, you don't know much. You're trying to impress these people that know a whole lot more than you do, right? And so you're just like trying to be professional. And that doesn't actually work very well as far as like making connections with people, right? And even in the work environment, you need to have connections. So as an architect, I have a whole team of people. I'm supposed to like bring these different engineers and get everybody to like work together, you know, and to make this product. And then things do go wrong always in the project, right? And so what I have ended up finding though is like if you do your job, like you're hired by your client, you're supposed to, you know, do the drawings, do this, do that, right? Well, if all that goes smoothly, you get zero credit. Like that's why we hired you. You get 0 points. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when something goes wrong and there's a problem, and then you jump in there and you actually help them out as a, you know, they, on their end, they all of a sudden this headache comes up. Oh no, there's a problem. I've got this headache. You know, this is how are we going to handle this? Right. Well, then as you, when you're able to come in and take care of that for them and show them that, you know, they can count on you, that you're going to be responsive, that you're going to get this thing fixed. You've helped them out. That's where the relationship ends up being formed and happening in those situations. And so you almost need something to go wrong in order to kind of show the person, you know, that, hey, you can count on me, and hey, I can, you know, I can respond and I can do this for you. And that's the reason then that you get the repeat business, you know, is because the client learns that they can hire you and trust you, and there is a relationship that's formed.
Yeah.
But interestingly, because of money, it's like if you do everything right, well, that's expected, you know, and some of you get zero credit for that because it's like, that's what you did. I paid you for that. So there's, you know, there's nothing special about that. And it's only when the mistake happens that you get to form.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, you know, how what people remember the most and the impact you leave the most. And if someone has a problem and you help them solve that problem, then they're going to remember that more than you just did your job, and it's going to be more forgettable, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. There's having forgettable moments is perfectly fine. And having that stability of not always something not going as planned and having to recover it. But gosh, the trust that can develop from getting through a situation like you described in the intro is just, it can be profound for a relationship or a kink dynamic or even a friendship.
Yeah, no, so definitely.
It's a good skill to have. Yeah.
And the other thing is, it is really a test. I think in my mind, it is a test. If you do not respond well, then the other person notices that. I don't have any examples. Do you think of any examples?
Oh, sure. I can think of, the one that immediately comes to mind is I was doing, a type of play, private play with a partner, and we were pretty established, and it was just a really easy type of play that we were in the middle of, and we had done it before in the past and it had went fine. And just that day I couldn't tolerate it, or, it wasn't working for me. And so I just could not click in and maintain what was being asked of me. And immediately when I said that I've said yellow or something to check in, they said, they're basically like, what is wrong? You've done this numerous times. Why is today a problem? And it was like I had annoyed or irritated them by not doing it the way they had intended it to be done, right? So I changed the outcome or what they had in their head and how that was going to play out. And I mean, immediately that just the rest of, and I'm telling you the story right now. So it left an impact and it did damage to the relationship in terms of having to rebuild trust. And especially in that, if it's a particular type of play or something, then we have to rebuild trust in that area too. So yeah, that's all it can take sometimes to make a situation have a less than ideal outcome in the end, and what someone's left to remember. Yeah, like in my everyday life, for example, there are plenty of times where I will stick my foot in my mouth, and someone will be like, "I didn't really like the way you said that, Brandy," because I can be blunt Or I can just try to be as efficient as possible and be like, I don't have time for those 20 words that I'm just going to use 10 and it just comes off really harsh. And they communicate, you know, that just was kind of harsh and kind of didn't feel good. And I trust them that if they, first, I'm grateful that they feel comfortable enough to confront me with that and say something. And then it's on me on how I'm going to recover that situation. And instead of explaining it away and being like, I'm sorry, I was really busy and I was just focused and I didn't mean anything by it, just say, I'm sorry that was what happened. And I will in the future, please point that out again. And if I do it again, cause I need to know and I'll try to do better. Like, yeah, there's a way to respond and not be defensive. And what you did in your situation where you just took them and hugged them and you were there and present was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So that actually brings me one of the things. So I think, let's say this, you're bringing me to the next kind of topic I want to talk about. Okay. But when these situations happen, they are important, right? So it's like you have this opportunity to either make things better or I'm going to say make things worse by the way you respond. So the next thing is like, how do you know what the right thing to do is when those things happen? Well, how do you do it? Like something bad happens. These people are coming up and, hey, I didn't like this. You're just trying to be, in some cases, apologetic to help make, you know, like, I didn't mean it this way or whatever, but you're.
Yeah. You get beyond the agreeing if they should feel that way. Like, we're not talking about, well, you're too sensitive. You shouldn't feel that way. That's not what it's about. If a scene goes wrong or you're in a relationship and you say something and it comes off really harsh. If you know, I had a situation just the other day where I was speaking with someone and they said they had made a comment that was just really harsh and it just made me shut down immediately. And then they were like, let me step back to that. Let's just kind of reset. I realized after I said that how harsh it sounded and that's not what I meant. So can we just start over from there? And that was it. It was, and you just address it and, you don't try to say, well, I didn't mean it that way, so you shouldn't have taken it that way, or you're being sensitive today. There's no, the assigning blame isn't going to get you anywhere. Then you're just avoiding the issue.
I tried to think about this, like how do I figure out for myself, like what the right thing to do is, you know, in those moments, right? So what I kind of came up with was like, first is like protecting the person. So in like the example I gave, I had to like, you know, get her down, make sure she's physically safe, you know, and then basically comfort her at that point, you know? So I think you do, when something happens like that, people can be scared. You have to kind of protect them. You maybe comfort them. And then I think it's like, then you're working, you're just trying to ask yourself, what's the right thing to do? How do I like, you know, fix this issue or correct it? Or what do I do to make it a little bit better? And just pause for a second and think about that. You know, what is the best kind of action that you really can be doing at that time? Mm-hmm. And I think show and demonstrate that they can count on you. So, you know, just trying to, and the other part they at least linked in that with is like your time and your attention and your effort are going to matter. So I guess that's really all the same kind of thing. But when you decide to do something and you're going to decide to try to make things better or right or whatever, you know, taking care of the other person, like that does get noticed. And so I think that's the part where people are like, okay, I can count on this person, even if you don't get it resolved or whatever, at least they kind of know like you're in there trying, and that goes a long way. And you know, you can only do what you can do, you know? So it's like, you might not be able to fix everything as well or make it perfect, but you know, as far as relationships go, that's not always the point. The point is a lot of times just that you're trying, and that shows people can count on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Brandy, one of the important lessons here that I think we have is like that if we know that if a mistake happens or something like that, that we have a good chance of being able to be okay with it, you know, that we're going to take, if something happens, we'll take care of the other person. How does that affect you as far as like your comfort level? I'll use myself as an example. When I was younger, I think I worried about things a lot more, right? And then as I got older, I think I learned that, no, it's going to be okay. And that if something does happen, it's all right, right? So then that ended up, in my experience, I just became a lot more comfortable. I didn't worry about things as much. And of course, then that helped me in all kinds of areas of my life.
Because I think that goes back to intention. And Stephen, if you and I are doing a scene and I have to go into that scene giving you the best of intentions, saying he wants this scene to go well. He doesn't want to push me beyond what I'm not ready for. Knowing it, while still acknowledging that that could very much happen. But if you don't have the good intentions going into it and that's not already established, then when a problem does happen, then it's going to be much harder to be able to navigate through that well.
Mm-hmm. That made me, we've talked a lot about about different BDSM scenes today on this episode, but I am thinking again about myself, right? And I've seen this with other people too, but when you first start off, okay, as a top, and a top means like if Brandy might be the bottom, I might be the top, I'm the one who is doing the hitting, the spanking, that kind of stuff of her, okay? So as a top, if I'm going to go hit Brandy, I actually like Brandy, right? So I don't really want to like do any harm or whatever. We're trying to create something here. And so it can be really hard to learn to, I'm going to say hurt, where there's some pain involved to the other person, okay? So there was a period of time when I was first really kind of starting off and, you know, we would agree to play. I don't know if this happened with you, but it might have happened when you and I first started playing. And we would agree, okay, let's go play. And we'd go out there, right? And I remember talking to Kimberly being like, yeah, I'm scared, man. Like, what if I mess up? Like, I don't want this. And then you just have to like find a fight through that. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway. Right. And then you'll just be like, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But what I found was you're like literally getting over this hump of realizing like, okay, if I do mess up, you know, that happens once or twice. And then it's like, you realize like, okay, if I do mess up, like it is going to be okay. You know, I've got enough of a relationship with this person. They're not going to, whatever, you know, freak out on me. We're going to be able to like talk. We're going to get through this thing. And, you know, and they're going to know that I'm not trying to, you know, be a dick or whatever. I'm well, we don't like to say it. They're going to know that I'm not, you know,
that being you have mean good on intentions. Purpose.
Yeah. And yeah. I just maybe mess up. Right. So then what happened over time was I literally like got to be more and more okay of like, I can try to hit you a little harder. You know, I don't have to worry about it. It gives me more freedom to try things. And of course, then when I'm able to try more things and do more things with you, then we become better players, you know, at that whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's more interesting. It's more exciting. There's a lot more freedom and I can do stuff that originally I might've like held myself back on. So I'm going to say it's like, you have a better vocabulary because you're literally kind of free because you're not worried about these things. So I think that's a real advantage. It's just kind of working on these skills and not always seeing the problem as like, you know, this kind of crushing, really bad incident. But if you can start to see it as like, okay, something went wrong, but it's an opportunity to kind of really build something and establish it, then it can, I don't want to say it's going to become fun, but it can become a really, like I can now notice these moments, like when it happens.
Well, it doesn't
at work.
Become such a crippling reaction. It becomes much more manageable versus focusing on it actually happening. It's like, what do we do now that it has happened?
Yeah. But I think I even see it as an opportunity. You know, when, if it's at work or if it's in a scene and something goes wrong, then it's like, all right, like we're going to take care of this thing and then we're going to get going again, you know, and then it'll be even better than what it was before. And that, again, when you do that more and more, it just kind of builds on itself. So it's a different perspective. And I think that's the main thing that, you know, we really want to kind of share today.
It is it to step back and try to remove yourself enough from the situation to where you don't become defensive or accusatory or blaming the other person. That does take, I don't think that's necessarily natural for for some people. And so it's a skill that has to just kind of be developed. And I do definitely think it's a more elevated, mature level of thinking.
It is. Yeah. I think you can't just do it. You have to go through the experiences, you know, and they turn out okay, you know, and realize that, okay. You know. But when they do turn out okay multiple times, then yeah, I think that's where that kind of confidence and that freedom end up coming up.
Yeah. Well, you build up your own confidence in how you're going to deal with them when it happens again. And, the reassurance that you can deal with it if it happens. So yeah, all those are positive outcomes from a situation that ideally didn't end as you intended it to be.
Well, as a summary, I think for like the key things we talked about here today, just, you know, again, know that mistakes and accidents and problems, like, they're always going to happen at some point in time, but it is that opportunity to kind of, you know, try to do the right thing and turn it into something positive. When you do, it's going to help strengthen your relationships. And I think too, when it does happen, just kind of, you know, check in on the other person, do whatever you need to kind of protect them, you know, make sure they're immediately safe. Just work on helping to correct the issue, and just know that your time, your attention, the effort that you're putting into it, that stuff's going to get noticed, and you're going to get credit for, you know, working and trying to do the right thing. And hopefully the more you do this, the less worried you're going to feel overall about messing up. And that really is, I've found in my life, like, that's been a really nice sort of discovery, and it's a weight off your shoulders. It really is.
I really like that topic. I think it's one that it can apply to almost every, situation in your life, whether it's a misunderstanding at work or in relationships, or if you're at the grocery store, it can apply to a lot of different situations. So I think that's a good one. That's a good topic.
Yeah. And it probably is just perception of like how we view situations, you know, and are we going to, I don't want to sound too positive. It's like, just don't let them get you down. Just make it an opportunity. You know, that sounds really dumb, but I think that there is something to it, you know, that, how we view it, I can now view things and see that, like, okay, actually, yeah, I can grab this and go with it and like turn it into something good. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. We're not saying that we want the opportunities to happen, or we want to create them to happen, but we're saying when they do and inevitably happen, that it's not all negative, and that there are some positives that you can gain from it.
Thank you, everybody. If you like today's show, please remember to follow us on your podcast app of choice, and we will get future episodes. We come out every 2 weeks. And if you know anybody who might benefit from what we talk about here, then please tell them about the Ethical Seduction podcast. It's word of mouth is the way most people find out about us. And we do have a website, ethicalseduction.com. There's a good amount of material on there, actually. We've got all the different podcasts and different things we've recorded. We've also got videos and stuff like that we've done in the past. And then where you can also follow us on FetLife, Instagram, Facebook. And as I said last week, I'm doing Reddit more and more, and I'm really kind of enjoying Reddit because it is a forum, and I think it fits like the kind of stuff that we talk about on here. So that's been new to me, but I've enjoyed that. So, well, Brandy, thanks a lot. And thank you, everybody, for listening to us. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again in 2 weeks. Thanks.